On today's show, we're chatting about community with our special guest, Counselor Teresa Cunningham. This is Penhold Talk Radio. And welcome back to the show. Thank you for joining us again this week. My name is still Brian Constantine. I am here with my co-host, who is still Michael Rowland.
Hello, hello.
And let's just start with the big news of the day. Here in Penhold, we are just a week away from the opening of DQ.
It's so soon, so close. We can finally get a blizzard.
You can taste it.
Yeah.
And the weather is almost getting to that stage where you feel like you want to get blizzard.
There's been a few days recently where I thought ice cream would be nice.
Yeah. So there you go. There's the big news. I think April 7th, I think, is the date I saw on one of the Facebook posts.
And it looks like it's there.
Yeah.
You can look at it from outside and you'd think that they're ready to open the doors.
Yeah. And little public service, please be patient with the staff for the first week.
Kidding.
They are going to be crazy in there, no doubt, and stressed out of their minds. Those 15, 16, 17, 18 year olds. This is, yeah. So give them a break. Just be patient. They'll get your blizzard soon. All right. But the bigger news, of course, is that we have a special guest with us this evening. We are joined today by Counselor Teresa Cunningham.
Hello. Thanks for having me, guys.
No problem. Thank you for coming on. What is going to be your blizzard of choice when you go in?
I used to, it was a long time ago, but it's Score. The Score blizzard was my go-to back in the day. Yeah.
That's gotta be a classic flavor. That's gotta have been around for a while.
Yeah. And the chocolate explosion ones, I don't even remember what they called it, but it's like the brownie chunks and everything. Yeah. That's gotta be one of the best. You get the cakey kind of chunks of stuff in it.
I like that too, but I go for usually the strawberry cheesequake.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's my thing. All the deep dives here on Penhold Talk Radio. All right, so enough with that. Let's get to know our special guest. So it's interesting because, so you are, I think we only got Counselor Denson, and he's going to come on at some point. But it's either between you or Denson. Who's been here? Who's the most recent migrant, as it were, to Penhold?
Oh, okay.
It's pretty close because apparently you've been here since 2015. Yeah. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And
it's actually our anniversary. We moved here on our anniversary.
On your anniversary. So yeah. Why would you do that?
Why?
Don't you have other things to do on an anniversary? Yeah. The funny thing is, we moved here on the date my first son was born. So we didn't plan that at all. That was just spontaneous. I think he had more to do with that than Hope and I had. But yeah. So while we were in the hospital, when I was in the hospital with my wife, our realtor was actually getting the keys for a house. We didn't have the chance to find a walk-in.
We're kind of busy.
Yeah. We're kind of occupied. If you wouldn't mind looking after that. Yeah. And then you got the whole moving process. So you got a nice little. At least what it does, though, is it provides a nice, easy time to reference how long I've been here.
Oh, yeah.
It's like it's not another date I have to remember. Like, I already have enough time, enough trouble with the three kids and an anniversary date, and then my wife's birthday. Like, that's enough dates. I don't need another date to remember. So this is nice, ties it together.
Yeah.
But you've been here since 2015. And so far, everyone has also been an Alberta native.
Yeah.
So you were born in Red Deer.
Yeah.
So you're born in Red Deer. How long did you spend in Alberta after that?
Well, there was a few moves there. Red Deer till I think it was six. And then, cause I went to South School Elementary, I think it was.
At the time.
And then up to Dawson Creek and then, spent a number of years there and then, Sikkimoose area, Revelstoke, back to Sikkimoose area.
Wow.
And then down to DeRoche and then here.
So what prompted, like, why does one move from Red Deer up to Dawson Creek?
My mom has family up there.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. So that's, they wanted to
and
go
just
do
move
that.
A little closer to family.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then Sikkimoose, like we're,
do we
we're,
had
we're,
other family there.
We're jumping on, like, that's my, crazy all over the place. Like that.
My mom has like seven other siblings. So there's family everywhere.
Wow. So. Nowadays, like, You just Zoom them or FaceTime them, but man, yeah, you have to go, drive. That's a long, how far is that from here, Dawson Creek?
I haven't driven it in a long time. I mean, when I was a kid, I used to take the bus out here to Red Deer all the time, right?
So, from
Dawson, yeah.
Wow. That's a pretty lengthy bus ride.
Oh, yeah. When you're like 10. Yeah,
very lengthy. Wow. Yeah, I'd always be interested to visit that place. I think the furthest north I've got is Fort St. John.
Yeah.
And now Dawson Creek, that's the one like right on the border. That's northern piece.
Beaver Lodge is on the border, but I mean, it's just right in the north, a little bit.
Yeah, it's just right in northern BC border.
Yeah,
isn't
that's the mile zero post, mile zero city. Yeah.
No, yeah, like as far as history goes, like that's a incredible place to hang out. And then Sicamouse.
Yeah.
Another BC place. If people aren't familiar with that, in the
houseboat whole capital of the world, or of Canada, or of North America, I think it's houseboat capital of North America.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, if you ever driven out to the coast, you've probably driven through that whole area of the Shuswap. Yeah. And
it's gorgeous. There.
So you know De Dutchman Dairy?
Yes.
That to me is like the pinnacle of that part of the world.
It is
De Dutchman Dairy. You got to go there for ice cream.
What is that?
I know it because I know the family that runs it. The DeWitt family.
DeWitts, yeah.
But it is a dairy that also doubles as a petting zoo, and they process all of their own dairy. So
yeah, they have their own milk and all that.
They're known for their ice cream for people passing through, but people in the area get their milk in glass bottles.
Buses come for ice cream. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And that's right on the highway?
Just off the highway. I think it's just to the south of the highway.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Maybe having five siblings, my parents were reluctant to stop at anything.
I'm sure my family wouldn't have if we didn't know the family.
Yeah, that's right. When you have five siblings, it's like you start. And I know now as a parent, just of just three kids, you know, you're always doing the multiplying factor. You got it even worse than I do.
Yeah.
How many do you have?
I've got five kids.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Five daughters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Busy.
Yeah. So, yeah, like you say, we did that. Was it last summer we stopped for ice cream at a fancy ice cream place in Red Deer? I don't even remember the name of it. The one right there down on Ross Street. Okay. And yeah, it adds up. You look at that. You go for yourself and think, okay, what's $7 on an ice cream cone? You take seven people and go for ice cream cones and it adds up.
Oh,
But De Dutchman Dairy is worth the stop. Just got to talk about that with Sicamouse.
Give them a shout out. Yeah, that's cool. So as I was looking up, you mentioned DeRoche. So that to me is like similar to finding Councillor Walsh growing up in Tomahawk. It's like very similar size little place along the highway.
Yeah.
Though I guess Tomahawk's not along the highway. But DeRoche, because I grew up in BC down the Lower Mainland, so I was familiar with that. And saw that name. And so how long were you there then? So it says 2009 you moved there.
Yeah.
Is that still, did you have more family down there?
No. I moved with my husband down there. Yeah. So that was 2009 and then until 2015. So
And then kind of related to that. So knowing you've been born in Alberta and now living in Alberta, sounds like most of your time though was out in BC.
Yeah, we had a lot of time in BC.
So have you reached a stage where you feel a burden or you still feel connected to BC?
It's both. It's totally both. I BC, I always love the mountains. Yes. I mean, and the smell of cedar. It's just, right? But I mean, you know, Alberta, that's where, you know, there's five generations of Alberta. Mm-hmm. That was when the genealogy thing is getting into that. It's like, that was really neat to find out, right? And I was dang, because our kids were born in Abbotsford. And I was like, shoot. But it's so cool to just continue that right? But yeah.
It was just a little blip.
Yeah.
A little blip. So when I saw DeRoche, I didn't know how much time you'd spent out in BC, but I'm guessing that's now knowing Dawson Creek, Sicamouse is in there, Revelstoke.
Yeah.
Listen, like those are some great places.
Yeah.
Especially the scenery in those areas. Coming from BC, that's probably what you miss the most, especially once you move past the Rocky Mountains out here.
And
you
you
just miss the scenery. Yeah. And then you list Vancouver Canucks as well. So I'm guessing that's where are you a sports fan or is it just something that you filled out on social media?
Vancouver Canucks is just like, that's the team, right?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not locked in.
It's okay to be committed.
I locked in. I would say locked in with Team Canada.
But oh, yeah, okay, but of course, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Actually, my husband and I were talking about VXO there the other day.
Oh,
I
was like, oh wow! Yeah.
I really like him. I think he's now doing the sports casting.
Yeah, he's done the sports.
I mean, he was a good team player, but yep. I mean, he's really stepped into, you know, his role too, right? Yep. He's done really well with that. He's meant to do that. He's got
a good personality.
To
play the color commentary and sports pundit now. It's interesting as I was kind of reviewing the allegiances on council. So you got the Canucks with Councilor Cunningham. We got the Flames with Walsh.
Yep.
We got Edmonton, a silent fan in Mayor Yarjot. Yeah. And then we got the LA Kings with Councillor Hamm.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of funny. And yet they still claim to all get along.
Yeah.
So I guess sports don't come up in chambers.
Oh, no, it comes. They talk about okay. it. But I mean, it's...
I imagine they don't go over to Walsh's place for a game night or anything like that, though, or it might get a little more tense.
Yeah, I imagine so.
You don't know which channel to turn on to watch, right?
Oh, yeah. So in 2015, you move out to Penhold. What brought you out here then
work.
To Penhold?
Work, eh? Yeah, my husband was working down at the coast. So he was, where DeRoche is, it's outside of the Lower Mainland. But
So people know, it's about 100 kilometers east of Vancouver, around the Hope area. Actually, is it? Not yet to Hope, I don't think.
It was on Highway 7, so it's more towards like Harrison Hot Springs.
Yes.
So about like 15, 20 minutes out of Mission.
Okay, yeah. My grandparents grew up in Mission.
Yeah. Yep. But my husband Brent was working in Vancouver, Greater Vancouver, so he'd have to drive in every day.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Yeah, and that commute, as you know, is never going to get any better. And I mean, thank God, I can't imagine with gas prices now what that would be. So we were just, you know, we married, we had two kids. We all of a sudden immediately, it was like, we've outgrown our house. So I was like, well, you know, looking at moving inland, it was just like, we can't afford to be doing that, right? You know, moving closer.
Yeah.
But we didn't want to be in town. So that was actually, mm-hmm. we joked because we're like, how are we going to be town people moving here, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, coming from the Lower Mainland there.
Well, yeah, because there was like, I think we had 200 people in DeRoche.
Yeah,
Yeah, so
this is a big metropolis here.
It is. Like, it is yeah. kind of neato to be in town, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you actually have like your separate general store and post office, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah.
I grew up where that was all the same, where you had the post
office.
That's where I used to work
was at the general store. And yeah, we had the post office there.
Did you have video rentals as well?
I think they did.
Probably,
they
yeah.
did. Yeah, they did. And yeah. It was everything stores.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
But, yeah.
Did you have a bar attached to it?
No.
Didn't go that far.
Okay. We did sell liquor.
Yeah, okay.
We did sell liquor.
I had a 5-year stint in the middle of BC in Big Lake. So it's about 40 minutes outside of Williams Lake.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was, you had one building that had the post office, the video store, the general store, and off on the other side was the tavern where everyone went to. So very similar to what sounds like DeRoche had there.
Mm-hmm.
So he comes out here for work.
It doesn't seem
like it's taken you long to become very ingrained in this community.
That's what we do, right? Like, no.
Yeah, no, I'm curious, like what... So yeah, what is it that it's certainly an element of your personality. Where does that come from? Where does it originate, this community drive and the ability to connect seemingly so quickly to a community like you have?
I have no idea. I'm gonna be honest. I have no idea. We're just, you know, like if you need help, we're help. Like if somebody looks and they need a hand, then you help.
Yeah, certainly admirable.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess it's just, you know, if you want to like talk about community and stuff, is you be the neighbor that you want for yourself, right?
Yeah.
You know, you know, if your neighbor's elderly, like we use our other neighbors that we had before, they were married for 70 years. And it's like, you know, we're all going to be there at some point. So when you're clearing your driveway, you go make sure that you go clear theirs, right?
Because,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So. Would you consider yourself to be an extrovert? Like, are you a people person? Would you classify yourself
as
that?
I would say yeah. People person, yeah. I like my home time though.
But yeah, no. Going by kind of the list of your community involvement, it doesn't seem like you're too trapped there, or you're like you put yourself out there in the community far more than say I would. Like this is as public as I usually get. I usually like to do things behind the scenes, if anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, you've put yourself into so many different communities that will and committees just community cheer throughout these last few years, just in the 6-7 years that you've been here. It's quite remarkable. And so let's tie this into kind of the most recent development, or a very recent development, is your election onto council.
Yeah.
So you've only been here for 6 years, and then you run for council and you received the third most votes. Were you surprised by that?
I the whole thing surprised me, honestly. Like we, you know, it was a discussion we had as a family about being on council, if that was something we wanted to do. And then lo and behold, it was like, yeah, you know what, why not? Right. Like already pretty involved in the community. So why not just take the next step? And I mean, you don't know unless you try. Like if you don't put yourself out there, you're not going to know. So we're just, what the heck, right? You know, if I don't get it, I don't get it. That's okay, you know. But it surprised me. It surprised me.
Because there was three or four new candidates that were running, and then you had the vast majority of the incumbents come back.
Yeah.
And you placed a solid third.
Yeah. There was nine of us, and it was incredibly intimidating when we had the forum. Like in a way, I'm kind of thankful that we had COVID because it's scary. Yeah. You know, to think of like I looked back at the previous one. I think would have been, what was that, 2017?
Yep, 17.
Yeah. Okay, so and that's like in the there's a whole live audience, and as somebody that hadn't been on council, that's intimidating to sit there, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know,
the whole public speaking.
Yeah.
No, it seems like that's what I mean. I someone doesn't just garner 60% of the votes by being nobody, especially after 6 years. Like I think it's just a testament to how much you've contributed and become known in the community by some of this community service and community spirit. I'm kind of curious now. It's one thing to kind of be the neighbor you want to be, or you want your neighbor to be, be the kind of ideal neighbor. And it's another thing to kind of join some of these outside community committees, like the museum.
Yeah.
It seems like there's another step to go though into public office. That seems to be another level of scrutiny or of service involved in there. Do you see that distinction, or do you just see it as just another way to contribute to the community?
Yeah, it's definitely just another way.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's definitely different, like a different way, but you're still just helping out the town. Like I would think, so
it's a little bigger commitment.
Oh, it is.
Like you're definitely committing to a lot, well, longer term, you're committing to that 4-year term as well as a lot more responsibility. So You'd have to say it's got to be a little bit.
It is, but I mean, it's not. I don't know. It's not daunting. It's been a blast. Like it's been a lot of fun. So
I was kind of curious, since you are basically the new face on council.
Yeah.
How has that first 6 months now or so been? Like, what were your expectations, and how has reality kind of matched up with that?
I had no expectations. Well, no, I'm not going to go in there and do that to myself. But I had no expectations. It's just been fantastic the entire time. Like the guys, I'm so thankful because it's a great crew. It really is. Yeah. It's a good, and it is a team. So it feels nice, to be part of that. Like. Mm-hmm. To be able to have discussions and not agree and be okay. Like, Yeah. I was thinking at first when they said that to me, I was like, oh my gosh, like how much do you guys not get along?
how much goes on behind the scenes?
That's not the case at all, right? Like it's like very much in a marriage, you know, you're like, okay, well, you know, we don't see eye to eye on that, but you know, at the end of the day, we're in this together. So yeah. That's the sentiment. So yeah.
No, I think, I think that's a healthy perspective to take. And for too many, it's like, we disagree, therefore I don't want to see you ever again, kind of.
Many political levels don't get along as well as our municipal level here.
That's good to hear. See, for me, I always, I recognize kind of the, okay, my ego gets involved. I want to have some sense of control and power. There'd be some element of that when it comes to running for office. You know, I think I can help the leadership in some way. There has to be some sort of ego, I think, involved in some way to say, like, I'm going to lead and I think I can lead better than other people around here. I'm just speaking for myself, not necessarily for you.
That's why I'm letting you go ahead.
Yeah, I know. But that doesn't seem to be a thing for you. You're just, I'm here to help in any way I can kind of mentality. One thing that does scare me though would be just the paperwork. I want to get into like the more administrative side of things, like figuring out sewer.
We don't do the administrative side of that. That for the administration.
You're still making decisions on seemed to me like small things, or I have to read through all these documents to come to a decision on this crosswalk or something like that.
Yeah, but isn't that neat though? Like that's what I mean. Is like I didn't
see that's what I'm trying to get to. You got a personality that would probably fit along better with that.
Yeah, like it's like, oh, I never knew that about that. That's kind of cool, right? Like, you know, to be looking at different like land agreements and stuff like for the school. I'm excited to get into reading that stuff because
see, Brian just wants to fight over the big controversial issues. Leave those little things aside. Get the big issues out.
Yeah, I want to get into the dirty fighting area.
Sorry.
Yeah, let's get into big topics here. I appreciate that there are people out there who are willing and eager
excited. Maybe it's because I'm new. Maybe it's because I'm new. I'm still excited. We'll see,
a few more years on council.
We'll see by 3 years how it's gone. No, that's interesting to hear. Now, one more thing on this kind of whole community aspect is you've now kind of created a tradition for yourself, I think, over these last 6 or 8 months, I'm going to guess. You can correct me. Where your windows have been painted now.
Oh yeah. You know what? That was Myra and them. That was, they did a thing for Easter. Yeah. They were
they put out something about asking the community to get involved in this, correct?
Yeah. For doing like a window thing for like the Easter bunny, you put something in your windows, right?
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's what we ended up
that's
doing.
That's what it started as.
Yeah. That's what it started at. And then, it's just every month
you've become, become your thing now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how many window sets are you up to now? Because you just put up a new one, didn't you?
I don't know, actually. I have like a little album now from all the ones that we've done.
So do you already have like a list of things you want to do for the rest of the year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've got a list. Yeah.
I've seen like Lego and like the Emmett character from Lego Movie. I was just reviewing it. We've had the Flintstones, Nightmare Before Christmas. I think your most recent one is, which one did you just put up?
Oh, I've got Bugs Bunny and it's Donald Duck
Is Donald or Daffy Duck?
That's Donald. Yeah.
Oh, it's Donald. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. So you're mixing the cartoons a little bit there.
Yeah, I am. Oh, okay. I can do that. They're Looney Tunes. I can do that.
You're not locked under licensing agreements.
Yeah, like, it was all good.
You have a number of these creative
it's weird.
Elements.
I don't draw. Like that's the weirdest thing about it all.
So who does the drawing then?
No, I do. But that's what I mean. It's like for me, I've always been like, I don't draw. I got stick people, right? But then it was like, well, we'll do this thing in the window, and then we'll take this picture from here and see if we can, you know, put it up on the window, and then it actually looks like what it's supposed to look like, and it just blows my mind.
See, and I would have thought you were an artist.
No.
A hobby artist or something, because they look good. No. They look very good.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Well, good job. That is impressive.
Not at all. No, no.
But no, I think that's just one another aspect that just kind of highlights that whole community spirit that you foster so well.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we've got a lot of people, they walk by with their dogs and they're like, you know, looking up there. The kids are like, oh, I like the window, right? And it's cute.
That's very cool. So on this creative aspect, I'll bring it up. Also, scanning through your media, like you do Lego stop motion. So is this with your kids then?
Yeah.
That takes a while.
It does, yeah.
So is that something you initiated or is something that the kids got involved in, or is it something
I initiated it because when we homeschooled during the whole COVID thing, right? Yep. And so it sucked because they didn't get to have a proper Christmas concert. Right. Yeah. So I was like, well, that's not fair. So I wanted to come up with a way for them to have a Christmas concert. So we practiced a couple songs and then we thought the night before Christmas, we'd reenact that with Lego. And it was good because I could like do the sound bites with the kids reading their little verses. That's so we got our kids involved and then the neighbor kids as well. So it's super cute. Like it's super, super cute.
Yeah. No, my kids do a little bit on their own, but man, yeah, stop motion. It's a commitment. It's not something you do in a day kind of thing.
Yeah. It was like set up on my kitchen counter for like a good week.
Slowly moving the guy across across the bedroom.
Yeah. And you're like, okay guys, can you come here? I just need you to do this one little thing.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, don't bump it. Don't bump it. No, those are cool. Like I said, in my Facebook research, like you have one of the most wholesome community-based Facebook pages, at least the public side of things, as far as I can access. Like if someone posts a community event, like you are the person to go ahead and share that across all the other social media aspects. Like I said, I think that all fits into explaining why you were so successful in the campaign, in the election campaign. Good on you. We need people like you in communities to kind of lead the way forward and to be an example for the rest of us.
Those of us who are a little less social and less involved.
To balance out troublemakers like myself. But we'll play nice today. We won't get too involved in our mudslinging or controversies. All right. So part of the other, things that you're involved in is the Penhold COP. And so this stands for Citizens on Patrol.
Yes. Yeah.
When did you get involved in that? And then kind of what's their goal? What's their objective?
Okay. Well, that was Nancy Syme that actually had headed that. That was in the summer, and it was honestly just because, somebody was like, oh, we need to do something. And then she's like, okay, let's do something. And then I was like, yeah, I'm in on that. Let's do it. And and then here we are. Right. Yep. And it's happening. So, so it's a nonprofit and it's a group of just, residents, and we do patrolling in town it's actually been a lot of fun. There's actually more elements to the organization than I initially knew. And I was like, it's really cool. Like there's a lot of neat things. I mean, it'll be a year here in August that we will have been underway, but I mean, it's going really well. So.
Yeah. So how many of them, how many are part of the group right now?
We have 10 members who have completed all the proper training and stuff because there is training and stuff to do.
So, and then you say you do patrols.
Yeah.
And so there's groups of you that kind of walk around the streets.
Oh, you can drive or bike or ride in your car.
Basically keeping an eye on the community.
Yeah. 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 It's been nice because it's a neat way to be able to help your neighbors, right? Like, so that's kind of been a lot of fun. And now we're going to be doing flagging with the fire department so that we can help do flagging when it comes to town events. So it's another way for us to be able to help.
So explain that then, flagging, like,
traffic?
Make sure I'm on the same page. Yeah.
Yeah. Another way for us to be able to help out like with the community events and stuff.
Cool.
And, yeah.
So people have to get
criminal background record. Checks. Yeah, you need a criminal record check and a confidentiality agreement, and then you take training with us, and then you're good to go. So.
Yeah, so if people want to get involved in that, you guys have a Facebook
email,
page.
Yeah, and yeah.
So
yeah, yeah, email if preferable. It's Penhold, C-O-P, C-O-P-A at gmail.com.
Yeah, so yeah, if you...
Penhold-COPA
at gmail.com. Yeah, so, yeah, yeah, so Citizens on Patrol Association. Yeah. Yeah, so if this is something that's interesting to you, and if nothing else, you get to drive around the town and get to know fellow community members and citizens.
Well, that's exactly. You're meeting up with like-minded people, right? Like, yep. You know, I've got to know some of our neighbors better and stuff. Yeah. So it's been pretty neato. And then also, we found too, and we can't do it until we've been operational for 2 years, but we can actually hook up with the school and do school credits for kids.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's really, really, yeah, I know. I was like, it's actually going to be really cool to be able to do that. So it's a good plan for us to do that. And then hopefully if we can, we'd like to do a bursary as well. So.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, that's so it is far beyond just cruising the streets. It's got some growth potential there.
Yeah. And there's enough people now. Like, you know, I think before they had tried before and wasn't successful and stuff, but I mean, there's been a lot of growth in the town too, so there's a lot more people to draw from, right?
Yeah.
And not everybody might not be into patrols. Like, we just had the bottle drive, which thank you guys for the
and that was successful.
It was awesome. I mean, but like I said, maybe not everyone can do a patrol, but they can help out like that, you know.
Sure, yeah.
That's a great way to
There's more than just the patrols for people to get involved and help out. Yeah. And certainly this is an area where a lot of people feel affected in regards to crime and wanting to kind of make the place a little bit safer.
Mm-hmm. And like you say, you want something done. Why not try to do something?
Yeah.
Get out there and do something.
Yeah. I can't complain and then not do something. That's like,
that is something that I wish a lot more people had. And also it's nice that it's a solution that's been, or it's a solution to a problem being achieved on the citizen level.
Yeah.
It's not another government organization. It's citizens looking after themselves.
Yeah.
And I think just so many now, you know, you turn to the government for like, solve this problem I have. Mm-hmm. Whereas this really takes kind of ownership of our town, our own issues, and says, okay, I'm going to solve this ourselves. And you get a group of citizens together, and this is what happens.
And it creates a more sense of community.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
you are committed to your community, helping protect your community where you belong with your neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think it's great. It's awesome to see.
we had made the joke the other night. We went out and there's now the drive-through car wash. And we're like, we should go through here.
Got to monitor the car wash too.
But they're closed, so we couldn't get the code. So,
so do you have stickers on the cars or some identification?
We do have a flag. For hockey, like the car flags.
Okay,
so then that way we can be identified. We want to be easily identified by our citizens. Well, no,
unless
if you're driving
unless you
down
get the, called.
Well, yeah, yeah no, but yeah. I mean, if we didn't want to be a nuisance to the RCMP. So if somebody's driving down your back alley slow, and of course everybody has a different vehicle, so it's not always going to be the same car.
Yeah.
And then that way they can say, does it have that Penhold COPA flag on it? Oh, it does. Oh, okay. Well, that's them, right?
So it's that yellow, black, and white coloring on it.
Logo. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you see them driving the back alley, don't call the cops. They're the good guys.
Yeah. I imagine that could become a nuisance for the police if people are constantly seeing these slow moving vehicles monitoring their yards and monitoring their back alleys. Looks a little suspicious if you don't have that identification.
Yeah.
So if people want to get involved in that, like I said, they can email penholdcopa@gmail.com. So penholdcopa@gmail.com, and they'll get involved with you or someone else on the other end to get all the requirements in place for that. Mm-hmm. If more people get involved with that, share the load.
Yes.
And a little bit safer community. And then along with that, the other aspect I want to kind of chat about is the Penhold Museum. What is your role with them? Because that's also another recent one for you, isn't it?
Yeah.
In the last year or
Yeah,
so.
Just on their board.
Yeah, just on the board.
Yeah.
And so I guess the big thing when people think of the Penhold Museum and Penhold,
there's one thing.
Yeah, they think about only one thing. It's the ice cream.
Yes.
Is it?
We're making moves to try to get it going.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is this another thing where we can get a shout out, get more community, and this would help?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly. We are looking for people to give a hand and volunteer and get that up and running. So yeah.
And then even throughout the summer, hopefully the ice cream shack is up and going. And again, this is another thing that's staffed by
community members.
Yeah, community members, volunteers.
Yeah.
It's one of the best. One of my favorite parts of Penhold is the $2 ice cream.
Yeah.
There's just like, I don't know whether a community has something like that, especially the quality that they put out. Mm-hmm. So hopefully that's on this year, you said. So that's the plan?
We are hoping for it. I mean, now that the weather is nice, hopefully we can start making moves on getting it going. Because, of course, you can't do anything when it's still winter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If this is something that your family has enjoyed
more than we should.
I know, right? But you talk about even $2 multiplied by 7.
That's why we've enjoyed more than we should. When you can grab like a $10 bill and head out and the whole family can have ice cream and you're supporting the museum. It's awesome.
Yeah. So. No, this is something that has certainly been missed, I think, over the last 2 years. With the restrictions going on and then
some challenges,
some other challenges. And this is certainly another worthwhile community organization that would definitely benefit from more community involvement.
Oh yeah.
Cause certainly there's enough people who've been involved on the $2 side, the ice cream side of things. It's not much to kind of hang out behind the counter either. I know I've done that a few times in the last, or at least before it was shut down, unfortunately. But no, get involved. So there's two organizations that people can easily get involved with and make a kind of contribution back to the community. And I think a lot of people do in this community. This is one thing that I keep going back to in Penhold is this connections that we people have.
Yeah.
There's just a wonderful camaraderie, might be too strong a word, but there's a close-knittedness to it that comes with Penhold, and that's not automatic. Like that does not happen by itself. That's something that citizens have to do intentionally. Like you just put a whole bunch of people together in an area. You're not going to get a community. You're going to get a bunch of people living together. It's just another thing to build community around that.
We've had the right people in this town to really push that. You've got the right people running the library, the right people on council, the right people running various community organizations to really create that sense of community.
Yeah.
And it's just growing. Yeah, the town's growing, but the sense of community has remained strong.
Yep. And yeah, you got good people in place. The thing is, it only lasts that one generation. Like that's the thing. Community has to be maintained generation by generation.
Yeah, those who aren't involved will soon miss it when those that are can no longer do it.
Oh, Myra, like even today, like she's amazing. But even today, like they had posted about the fact of like Easter, they're going to have some Easter crafts on the Easter extravaganza day on April 9th. but there was a lady on there that had said they actually come all the way from Lacombe to come enjoy our library. And I was like, that's amazing. That speaks volumes for our ladies at the library.
Yeah. When you got people coming from a community bypassing multiple libraries along the way to come to ours, it just shows how much our people at the library, Myra in particular, cares about this community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, look, I think we found our theme for the show. Like the library, like we've gone through Penhold COPPA, Citizens on Patrol, get involved with the Penhold Museum. I know they've had some paint nights recently there. So
it seems like it's been doing paint nights there.
Yeah. So it's been nice to see them kind of be able to utilize their space more. And I think that will definitely help get people familiar with that beyond simply the summertime ice cream. We got the Penhold Museum, but the Penhold Library as well is another big community driver for the town of Penhold. Yeah, Myra is front and center when it comes to trying to connect people We can't lose her. She has to stay like forever. In fact, just to highlight how kind of popular the library is, I think it's every Tuesday. I should know because I do the posters up. I can't keep it straight. If you need to, it's all on the website. I maintain that too. So you can go to the Penhold Library website, penholdlibrary.ca, and you got all the community newsletters or the library program newsletters and calendar that you can print off. So you can get it all there. But I think it's on Tuesdays at 11 a.m. They have a story and craft.
Yes.
And so they've been running this for a long time. In fact, they kept it going, even through most of the restrictions
they found ways to work with the restrictions. Yeah. They did things outside for a while. Myro did everything she could to make sure that the library didn't just disappear.
Yeah. And it's getting recognized. The amount of work and effort that the library is doing, especially over these last 2 years when a lot of libraries kind of slunk away or kind of back down their activities. Myro is more like, okay, how can we get around this? Not in an illegal manner, but like, how can we get to people within these restrictions? And so like we had the kids in summer reading program.
Yeah.
Went mobile.
They kept driving door to door. They'd show up at our house every week and sit out front and read with the kids.
It was amazing because we had our kids, our neighbors' kids, kids across the street. And then we actually had kids like from down around the corner. They'd come and, you know, they're like, oh, they're here. And yeah, there's just a ton of them in the driveway and they're just all happy. Like my mom was like, what's going on? I was like, the library's here, Mom.
The library's here. And how often do you hear that kind of a statement? The library's here.
Oh, yeah. Little dance library. Parties in the driveway. Yep. Yeah.
Oh, it was amazing.
Yeah. So, to kind of pick up on that is I know the Penhold Library is looking for their next summer coordinator.
Yes.
So especially college students, they usually go for... The library looks for like internships. Mm-hmm. And so if you're a college student or going into college and you are someone who's looking at kind of get involved in maybe social work or childhood development, like this is a wonderful time to get involved opportunity to get involved. So again, mm-hmm. all on the website, go check it out and see the criteria and requirements there. But I'm amazed at the quality of the coordinators over these last few years and how much work and effort they put into it. Like, and these are just usually, like I said, college kids, and students that are coming in. And so they aren't necessarily community members, but they become so ingrained and put so much work into it. Yes, exactly. it's a remarkable program. And so, hopefully we can get another.
Myra's enthusiasm is contagious. Mm-hmm. Like you can tell the people that work there pick up on it. It's mm-hmm. like she's committed and everybody that works around her becomes that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah. No, yeah. It's definitely got a contagion there. You can't talk to her for long without that coming up. Yeah. And so kind of go back again, I know hopefully people have been paying attention. I know I left the story and craft thing hanging a little bit there. but just to highlight the popularity of it. So the story and craft is usually a Tuesday morning thing. This last Tuesday, they had 51 show up.
Oh my what?
I don't know if that was like kids and adults or just kids, but either way, 51 people.
That is a big crowd for something like that.
Yeah. And so they've in response to this overwhelming supply of people, they've actually now put it into three different time slots. So they're doing this exact same thing, but now they got Tuesday at 11, Tuesday at 1 p.m., and then Thursday at 11.
Yeah.
But, 51 showing up for this.
Wow.
Libraries are a lot different than what I remember mm-hmm. them.
Well, Myra's gotten away from that idea, and I'm sure other libraries have done the same, but gotten away from that idea of the place to be quiet and read a book.
Yeah.
It's now a place of community involvement, of getting people excited about reading and learning and crafts and just being a kid.
it's kind of interesting. That has been a shift in like library philosophy, if you will.
Yeah.
I won't bore you. This is this is stuff that you might be interested in. this little fun background stuff. But yeah, but learning the, and as I've worked with the library, there's been a philosophy shift in what community or what the library, what the perception of the library is in a community. So like for one thing, before you might stress out about, you know, your late fees, that's become really a thing of the past. And that has been an intentional thing when it comes to libraries.
Yeah.
Is a reduction, if not elimination of fees. But then also you got all these different communities. It really has been kind of this turn libraries into these kind of community hubs instead of these, you know, be quiet study areas. There's still that aspect to it in certain areas, but overall it's certainly a different, when I grew up, at least that's what's been seared in my mind. You know, perhaps that's just library stereotype being frozen into my mind, but yeah, it's certainly not what you see now in the Penhold Library.
Yeah, our daughter, she was 4, and she's like, and she had an overdue library book, and she's like, our library book, it's overdoomed. And I'm like, it's overdoomed. Oh no. I was like, maybe that's why we're so scared of libraries.
That's right. No, I think it's that.
Like, it's overdue.
Yeah. You see those little shifts there. It's kind of interesting how those little things change your mentality towards the library or towards organizations, how little shifts make a big difference. But I know Meyer is always looking for more people to get involved in kind of steering and guiding the library, getting involved there, particularly on the board. Yeah. So if that is something that you're another element, like I said, another way to get involved. And like I said, this is the theme of the show.
I didn't realize that was going to be the theme of our show. Here we are, though.
But I think this fits perfectly well. I think this suits your presence here. But no, get involved in the library as well. And so there, I think the email is penholdlibrary@prl.ab.ca. And again, probably the simplest way is just to go to the website, penholdlibrary.ca. All your information will be on there that if you're looking to become a board member, and all of the contacts, if you want to get in contact with the library, will be on there. So by all means, go check it out. So yeah, we've presented people with a lot of ways to get involved in the community. I don't mind taking a break from all the, you know, the political and cultural things to try to highlight or have a show that, you know, highlights the way people can get involved in the community.
Especially now
that you can get out, it feels like you're free again, eh?
We love this town, and if we want to keep it this town, involvement in that community sense, that community feeling is important. Mm-hmm.
I don't know where you're saying.
Oh, I was going to say, I'm excited for that extravaganza. That's going to be like our first. I mean, I know we had our fall fair last year, but
yeah,
we were still kind of in it then. So
yeah, the restrictions fell just perfectly for that to get in there before it ramped back up again.
This will be like the first time, like, you know, that they can really, like, the kids can really have a fun outside time. So, yeah.
Yeah. Even when the fall festival was on, like, there were still like mask requirements in place.
Yeah. We were still, and
there's certainly other restrictions. Yeah. You still have the vax pass on, but now, you know, you can go into any store now. You don't have to worry about whether you have your phone charged to show them the pass or you forgot your mask. So yeah, it's a different mentality now. So yeah, the eggs extravaganza is April 9th, I believe.
Yes, yeah.
And that's all at the multiplex. Mm-hmm. And then you know, maybe next year it'll be at the community hub as that gets developed.
Oh no, we're so excited about that one.
One more plug for that.
Big things happening in Penhold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, so let's finish up. You do have a couple other hobbies that I'm kind of curious by. One, you've listed woodworking.
Yeah, I love woodworking.
What for me, when I think woodworking now, it's the Facebook video that pops up that shows me how someone turned like a stack of pencil crayons into a guitar or something like that.
I mean, my aunt can do all of that stuff. She's amazing. She's got her own lathe, her own thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So what? That's very, like, that's another peculiar hobby, like woodworking. So what
What kind of things
do you get involved with in that? Like you do the full on lathe?
I wish I could. Like I wish I had one. But I don't know. It's just like to create things. Like I don't know. I made a wet bar downstairs in our house.
Okay, yeah. Wow. Yeah, see, that's I'm not handy at all, but I appreciate like woodworking. There's something. I don't know. There's something ancient about it, like that. Like that's how you started building things, yeah. But it feels like a throwback skill, and yet there's so much, and there's just so much skill involved when you look at how woodworkers can craft certain things, like from like you said. Facebook is usually they catch you with these as you're scrolling through they throw up they have the algorithm programmed nicely. It's like, oh, that was interesting, but like just all the different joins and connections mm-hmm. they can do and you know they're bending wood and all that.
Well, and just to create something so cool. Truly out of wood, not mass manufactured out of particle board and other stuff, but to make something truly sturdy and well built.
I think it's more or less out of necessity because you never had money to just like go to a store and buy something. Right. So you're like, I'd like that. I'll make it.
Yeah. Yeah. And probably make it better quality than you would have bought in the store.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now cost of wood over the last couple of years, it's a little harder to do woodworking, but
I made a neat little display case, a couple of years ago for an old sewing machine. That was my great grandma. And it was, you know, it was really cool, but I wanted to, you know, have it in a display case, but I saw like at Michael's and they're really expensive and then it's not going to fit on my mantle. So I was like, well, I'm going to make one.
Yeah. Wow. Pre-made like that. It's never exactly what you want either. You're always buying something that's lesser quality and you have to make it work.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when you can do it yourself. You can make exactly what you want.
Exactly.
If you have the skill to do it. That's where I struggle is I'm not sure I have the skill to do it. But
Does your husband get involved in that? Just to give him a shout out, because I was actually looking at the Pendle Museum page. Yeah. Yeah. And he helped out with some window work there.
Yeah.
So he's not into the whole woodworking either.
No, that's not his jam.
That's your own. Okay. Do you have your like your own little woodworking space then?
I basically what it is when he's gone at work, that's where my woodworking space is when he's gone at work. That's like I have his side of the garage and then it's like, oh crap, he's coming home, and then 3 days I'm just giving her cleaning it up, right?
I was going to say, yeah, you sound like you have the whole den thing going on versus the kind of the man's den as it usually is. It feels like you've got the space kind of cordoned off, or at least part of it.
Because my cousin and I, we made a like an ice rink.
I saw that too.
Like
window work is nothing. She's putting like full on boarded ice rink in her backyard.
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah.
So has that been a thing for a while?
My cousin and I, we bought those like bladders to, you know, that you fill with water.
Okay, yeah.
And we were like, oh, we got two of them. We're like, that's not enough. So we're like, okay, we'll get four of them. They were on sale. So, and then it wasn't really ideal. It was okay for the first year, but then you had to even out the four different levels.
Okay, yep.
And then we're like, well, we'll just make one. And it's like, well, if we're making an ice rink, we got to have boards. And then if we're having boards, we got to have logos.
That's right. Yeah. She's got the hand painted logos.
Oh, wow.
Around the side. Yeah. In fact, I think on one of them it said advertise here. Is that
correct? Yeah.
Getting sponsorships for the backyard.
Yeah. So that's great. Yeah, you have to recoup some of these costs. You know, you have to like charge admission to your backyard.
It was funny. We sent it to Corner Gas because we had to put the Corner Gas and Ruby in there. Yeah, because So we sent it to them and they're like, "Hey, this is awesome." Nice.
If the ice rink is booked here, you know where to head. I'm sure your kids wouldn't mind a couple extra players.
Not at all.
And then I guess the last thing to touch on, I think some people might be interested in, is you have an interest in genealogy, and then you also include history. So are these kind of a package?
They go together.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah.
So where, so is it just genealogy of your family or just in general?
Well, I love history. I mean, Brent and I both, like my husband and I both love history.
Yeah.
Big time, right? But the genealogy, I mean, history just goes along with
course,
it, right?
Yeah.
Like when I was growing up, like my dad said, if you're ever interested in history, you know, you really only need to look to your family, and mm-hmm. he's not lying. It's so true. And it's really neat to be able to watch those people throughout history, not knowing their living history.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really fascinating.
Yeah. And it doesn't, I think it, to me, just looking back, especially in kind of the moment in history we are, it doesn't take long to go back in one's timeline to see how far we've come and then kind of what kind of incredible state we are living in the moment of history.
Yeah.
Cause you go back even just three or four generations and you're still talking about just barely getting, you know, running water and electricity.
The challenges are like, only great grandparents or great, great grandparents went through, and those who immigrated over, like we look back to our ancestors who immigrated from wherever they came from. Yeah. And it's interesting to see that, what they went through, the history involved in just that family line.
I mean, well, I'm actually part of the Mayflower Society. I went and did that.
So you said you track back what, how far have
that's
you gone back in your
years.
Family? Yeah. So that's for, yeah. Okay. So when you say the Mayflower Society, does that mean that you can tie your line back to that? Or is that just a historical society?
No, that's,
you have to have
documentation showing family lineage back to that. And so that's 16 generations. And it's fascinating. Just that journey alone was absolutely fascinating.
So what's a little bit of the process that you go through to find that, all those connections?
Birth, marriage, death certificates. So you're searching all sorts of different archives.
So are you doing these like manually or do you use like a service?
No, I just was just looking it up like online, right? So because you do have to document. So I sent away, and this was neat. I sent away, I brought my notes. I had sent away to the New York archives because my great great grandparents, I want to say it was, they were, pardon me, I got to get this right. No, that's,
I get confused after this.
My great-great-great-grandparents. They were in New York, Kings, New York, and I sent away because I needed their marriage certificate. And so I sent to archives. They sent me it back, but they also gave me their registration. And I was like, oh, neat. And it was really cool is in the registration has their address where they lived. And what's even neater is when you go onto Google Maps, you can actually Google map the street. Cause I mean,
especially New York, right?
It's still there.
Yeah.
So it was fascinating. And there's actually a picture of like the old man standing in his front yard with the building, and the building's still the same building.
Wow.
But it's different now because in the front of the building, he had a garden. There was a big arbor there, and now it's all sidewalk and
paint right
and,
the building
and,
here, yeah.
and yeah, fascinating.
That is cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, no, my wife has done a little bit more of that. Nothing near extensive as like contacting the New York archive. Like, I think for most people, when they think of of genealogy, they're thinking like ancestry.com and that kind of stuff. But it sounds like you go way beyond that.
Well, I was doing research for a while, and then I was using Ancestry just to use their tree format, because you can do that for free, build your tree on there for free.
Kind of keep track of where you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
if you were to pay for Ancestry, then that's where you're paying to get access to some of those records. But I mean, census records are
mostly
there.
It's all public.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of it's already on there already, but it's an avenue in which to save all of that, because it does grow substantially, like very quickly, right?
Yes.
You think every generation you go back, you're spreading that out and you've got branches going all over the place.
And you can't just look for like your direct one. You do have to find like your direct and then all of their kids, because you might not have documentation for that person, but they might.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So like they might, like a sibling might have more information attached to them.
So not one direct chain, but more of a mesh.
A collection of you need to know all these other connections in order to kind of keep on track with your main line.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, that's fascinating to be able to track back that far.
Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing. Like, I found fife players in the Revolutionary War. And
wow.
It's really neat. That and cool. Like another family member, he actually has a journal from when he went during, what year was it? I think it was 1889. He went up to Alaska on a ship, and he actually recorded his longitude and latitude. So you can actually follow every day in his journal how far he went. Huh. And it was really neat too, because he goes through the Aleutian Islands in between, like, where Alaska and Russia.
Okay, yeah.
Like, in between there. And so he talks about Mount Shishildin, and he's saying it's the most beautiful sight, issuing smoke out the top. And then, so it's actually it's a recording of a volcanic event,
yeah,
which is really neat.
Very cool. I don't know. It might spur some interest. I enjoy history as well. When I homeschool my kids, so it's nice because I get to rerun my elementary school and learn things that I want to learn as well. I'm just using my kids to kind of learn things I want to learn and then just spit it back to them a little bit. But one thing with kind of the curriculum that I've developed is we're kind of doing a survey of world history over. So every 4 years you kind of recycle it, but it's been nice because we started all the way back in, you know, the Egyptians and the Sumerians, and now you kind of get all the way up. Now we're just about to hit World War I. And it's just fascinating to see that whole breadth of progress and conflict and, everything that kind of goes on there, instead of just kind of picking out one or thing, but just see the whole breadth. Is there a particular area of history that you find interesting, or just
I just love
any
it.
History? It's awesome. Any history?
Yeah. Yeah. Brent could go on and on about, like, World War II and stuff. He finds that fascinating. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Good old game of Axis and Allies for Harry.
No, that's cool. I think over this hour we've given a lot of people a lot of things to kind of get involved in. Just to recap, we got Penalcapa. So after this episode, if you're not involved, it's not our fault. We've done our
bit. We've given you the options.
We got the Citizens on Patrol. You can get involved in. You got the Penhold Museum. We talked about, get involved there. We got the Ice Cream Shack. So if you want to keep that going, get involved. They're always looking for volunteers and people perhaps with expertise in different areas to help out in different ways. Penhold Library, lots of people involved there, but let's get more involved in kind of the background of that and then kind of the running of that. And then if nothing else, get involved in your history, in your own background. There's been a nice theme, I think, a nice theme that kind of developed naturally out of the conversation. I thank you for coming on and sharing with us your background and some of that community spirit that you're so good at bringing out in the town. Hopefully it wasn't too bad.
No, thank you. No, it's been good. Thanks for having me. It's been
like you said, the time goes by fast.
Yeah,
it
does.
Yeah, it wasn't too painful either. Yeah. all these links. I'll also put up on our website, penholdtalkradio.ca. You can check it out. I always kind of update it with the latest episodes, so you can always check out what we've talked about and in case you haven't time to write them down. But were you about to say anything?
I was going to say you didn't say anything to follow up from your last episode there with the whole slap.
Oh, no.
I thought you were going to bring it up.
No. No. We teed up the Oscars last week.
That sounds like this whole episode.
Yeah, we teed up last week with the Oscars, and sorry, but unfortunately, we could not predict what would have happened. No doubt, everyone's seen it now.
If you didn't hear our podcast, the only reason you knew the Oscars happened was probably because of the one event that got, like, international news.
Yeah. Or if you're watching the Oscars because of the podcast and then you saw the slap seen around the world, you're welcome. We pointed you in the right direction for apparently world news.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, we'll leave that there for now. I'm sure many people have already heard and seen it plenty of times. Yes. But yes, that did happen. This is the world we live in. But thank you for being a much better example of community than Will Smith was on Sunday night. Your community spirit is something that hopefully a lot more people can emulate. So thank you again for coming on.
Oh, thank you.
We appreciate you spending your evening with us. But until next time, my name is Brian Constein.
And I'm Michael Rowland.
And this has been Penhold Talk Radio.